If you brought with you a copy of the Word of God this morning, please open it up with me to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, we're going to look at chapter number 20. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 20, we're going to read in just a moment or two, verses 20 through verse number 28. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through verse number 28. I have the New King James Version of the Scripture with me this morning. Preaching on this subject this morning, good intentions gone wrong. Good intentions gone wrong. Matthew chapter number 20. If you have found that portion of the Word of God, would you stand together with me, please, as we share together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible Word. Matthew chapter number 20, beginning with verse number 20, the Bible says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?' They said to him, 'We are able.' So he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom is prepared by my Father.' And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. And Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are of great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.'" Pray with me if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning in the blessed and sweet name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you for the opportunity again to gather and worship. God, it's been so encouraging and refreshing to sing songs, God, songs of testimony, songs of praise, God, songs of adoration of you. Father, because we truly do adore you. And we want, God, everything that you have in store for us. And so, Father, I pray that we might put ourselves in the place that we need to be put. God, that we might understand what we need to understand from your book, God, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, that your Holy Spirit would help us to see the reason why you came into this world. God, you came into this world to give your life, God, to pay a ransom. And God, I pray that we as your followers, we'd be willing as well to give our life to be followers of you. God, I pray this morning as I stand here to preach, Lord, I'm in desperate need of you. So I pray, Father, that you would fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that you would give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How many of you have several years ago can remember a television show that was on TV quite regularly? How many of you remember the American Idol television show? Do you remember that? You know, that show at one point was incredibly popular. It's still going on today, but it's not getting any traction today. It's not producing any stars today. But years and years ago when it first came out, there were some great singers that came up through American Idol. You can think of Carrie Underwood came up through American Idol. Kelly Clarkson came up through American Idol. Jennifer Hudson, Colton Dixon, a lot of very famous people now have come up through that television show, American Idol. But you don't hear much about it anymore, do you? You don't hear of any stars coming up through American Idol these days, and they are desperate for stars. So you know what I've been thinking? I've been thinking that maybe someday I will go and I will look through the window of the doors of American Idol and I'll knock on that door to see if I might be a contestant on American Idol. I can picture it. I can picture it now, knocking on the door. Honey, won't you open that door? This is your sweet daddy, don't you love me no more? It's cold outside, let me sleep on the floor. Honey, won't you open that door? What do you think? Look around. I got more thumbs up than I do thumbs down. All right, so maybe I'm the next star, right? Well, maybe not. That would be good intentions gone way wrong, right? You remember what my favorite part of American Idol wasn't the voices that sang on the show. My favorite part on the American Idol was all the voices who could not sing on that show. You remember that? They would get somebody up there that may had a voice that sang just like I sang, and they would make the biggest fool of themselves as possible, and you would go away after watching the show just absolutely laughing because those folks couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Good intentions gone wrong. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning as we've looked in this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. There was a lady there that had some good intentions, but her good intentions went wrong. And so I want us to notice this morning some things in this passage of Scripture. I want us to take a look at it, and we'll notice four different things this morning as we look at these verses of Scripture. The first thing that I want us to spend a little bit of time looking at this morning is what mom's desire was. Notice with me mom's desire, and you see mom's desire in verses 20 and 21 of this particular text. Mom, it says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. So this lady comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wants to entertain a proposal to the Lord Jesus. She wants the Lord Jesus Christ to answer a request. So she comes to him with good intentions, right? We see in verse number 20, she comes to him in verse number 20 and she kneels down in front of the Lord of glory and knows that she is going to ask Jesus a question. And you come to verse number 21, Jesus says, well, what do you want? What do you want? What do you wish? And she made her request then known. She said, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left hand when you come into your kingdom. Good request. Notable request. She wanted the best for her kids, right? All of us, we could probably say the same thing about our children. We want our children to do well. I certainly want my kids to do well, and it brings a smile to my face when I look at their life and I know that they're doing pretty well because that's what dad wants. That's what mom wants for their children. That's what you want for your children, right? You want to be able to look at your children and to understand that your children are going to succeed in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what this lady was asking here as she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows that Jesus is notable, that he is the king, and that he is in a position of authority, and he is in a position of power. And all she wants is for her children to be noticed in the kingdom of God. And so she comes to Jesus and she asks Jesus this great big thing. Grant that these two sons of mine sit at your right hand and grant that the other one sits at your left hand. And isn't that just like a mom to ask on behalf of her children? Those of you that are moms and those of us that are dads know that we're first to come to the defense of them. We're first to be an encouragement to them. I know that when my kids were growing up, I taught them that they could do anything that they wanted to do. I taught my kids that they could be anything that they wanted to be, with the exception of a failure. I didn't want them to fail at life. I wanted them to be well-equipped at life, and Michelle would tell you the same thing. And so we reared our children in such a way that they would be a benefit, and they would be a blessing to the kingdom of God. I wanted the very best of them. I wanted my kids to grow up as leaders. I wanted my kids to grow up as faithful followers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just like you want for your children, or you should want for your children. Not that they're wealthy, not that they're successful in the eyes of the world, but simply they are faithful and successful in the eyes of God. That's what we want for our kids. And that's what this mother was asking as well. She wanted the best for her kids. She wanted her kids to be in the best possible position. And so she comes at the Lord of glory, asking him for this great big thing. When you come into your kingdom, when you come into your glory, I want my two sons, I want one on your right hand, and I want one on your left hand, be in a position of power and authority, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. That's what she was asking for here in this passage of Scripture. She wanted something good for her sons. She was asking the right person, but really she was asking the wrong question. She was asking for something that was completely out of line. She was asking for something that was completely out of the question. You know, sometimes that's the way things go. We don't think it all the way through, right? Sometimes we might very well ask for some ridiculous things when it comes to the eyes of God. Lord God, would you please help me to win American Idol? Lord God, would you please help me to win the lottery? It's kind of hard to win the lottery if you don't play it. Lord God, would you please help me? After all, somebody's got to win Publishers Clearinghouse, right? Why can't it be me? We ask and we ask and we ask. But sometimes we ask for the wrong things. And that's what occurs here. We see here in this passage of Scripture, mom's desire. But secondly, I want you to notice with me Christ's response. Notice how Jesus responded to this request. We see his response here in verses 22 and verse number 23. For the text says there in these verses, Jesus answered her and said, "Lady, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with?" What was Christ's response? You know, Zebedee's wife, she simply wanted her children to sit on the right hand and sit on the left. But Jesus was saying, "You don't know what you're asking for." Jesus was saying, "Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink?" Jesus was saying, "Can they do that which I am about to do?" You see, what did Jesus just talk to them about here in the preceding verses, the preceding chapters here? We know and we understand that Jesus had just talked to them about being crucified, and here they were interested in honor. You know, they were interested in a crown, but Jesus was interested in enduring the cross. And Jesus' response was, "Do you want a crown? Or do you want a cross?" Zebedee's wife, she wanted her boys to wear a crown. Jesus said, "But can you guys endure the cross? Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Can you suffer like I'm about to suffer?" And what was their response? their response was, yeah, yes, I can. Yes, we can. And Jesus said, well, okay then. If you can, we're going to see. Because you're about to drink the cup that I'm going to drink. You're about to suffer like I'm going to suffer. You're about to understand the pain of the cross. Jesus said, here's his response. Don't be worrying about a crown, but endure the cross. Isn't that a great thing for him to say to us today? We're in the business. We want to be the winner. We want to come in first. But Jesus says, man, don't be worried about coming in first. Don't just want the good stuff. Some of you are involved in church, and you've been involved in church for a long time, and you remember a guy by the name of Stephen Jogren. Stephen Jogren came up with the idea a few years ago. It's been a couple decades ago, the servant evangelism ideas. You remember those projects, servant evangelism? A lot of churches had engaged in servant evangelism, and the idea was to go out into your community and serve the community in such a way that your community will listen to the message that you would say. And in his book, he came up, I think the title of his book was 101 Servant Evangelism Ideas. And really were some great ideas out there that he came up with in that particular book. It was popular. He suggested a lot of things in that book. He suggested, just to name a few, grocery store giveaways and gasoline buy downs and free laundry at the laundromats and cleaning public restrooms. He had 101 ideas that you could go out in your community and you could serve your community in hopes of winning an opportunity to share the gospel with them, right? Pretty successful. Guess which ones weren't successful? Cleaning public restrooms, shoe shines, anything related really to cleaning, nobody wanted to have anything to do with that. Now, they were good with ice cream giveaways, and they were good with gasoline buy-downs and those kind of things that you didn't get dirty, but those things that meant you got dirty, nobody wanted to do it. If the sons of Zebedee were here today, I wonder if they'd be willing to get dirty. I wonder if they would say, yeah, we'll endure the cross. Mom's request, Christ's response, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I am drinking? There's a third thing that I want you to see here in this passage of Scripture. It's this, the disciples' reaction. Drop down in your text and notice with me what it says here in verse number 24. It says this in verse number 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. What was the response of the disciples? The text says, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. You know, the disciples, to be honest with you, they were ticked off. They were angry. They were upset. How dare this lady ask Jesus to put her two sons in a position that I'm going to have? And they were indignant. They were angry. We don't really know how indignant they were, but they were upset about it. The thought that somebody might get glory they felt like they had. I can remember reading not too long ago about two Kentucky farmers that were in and around Lexington, and they both had racing stables, and these two racing stables had developed a keen rivalry. One spring, they decided that they were going to each enter a horse in the local steeplechase race there, thinking that they would settle their rivalry once and for all. Well, one farmer, he decided that he was going to ride his own horse, but to gain an advantage, the other horse farmer decided, you know, I'm going to hire a Cracker Jack jockey to ride this horse, and this Cracker Jack jockey certainly will be enough to push my horse over the finish line. And so they let him out of the gate, and the horses took off, and sure enough, both of these horses, they were in first and second place. They were in first and second place, going around the first corner, going around the second, going around the third, though, they tripped up, and both of those horses who were in the lead stumbled and fell. Both riders fell off. Well, the farmer that fell off his horse, it took him a while to get up, but the professional jockey, you know what he did? Well, he got up quickly and went and jumped on a horse and rode it across the finish line, and he won the race. And he felt like, man, I've accomplished something. So he gets off his horse and he goes over to the farmer that had sponsored him, and the farmer that sponsored him was so angry with him. And he said, you know, I cannot believe that you've done this. To that, the professional jockey said, why are you upset with me? I won the race, didn't I? He goes, yes, you won the race, but you got on the wrong horse. And that's kind of the way it is sometimes with us. You know, we want to be first, right? We want to be the one that's got our names in lights. We want to be declared the winner. We want to get the golden trophy at the end, right? You know what Jesus says? Are you more interested in a crown than you are in a cross? Can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink? The disciples' reaction is that they were angry, upset, indignant against the two brothers. You know, we all can't have a crown, right? Now, I've learned in life there's always going to be somebody better than you. There's always going to be somebody that is stronger than you. There's always going to be somebody that is more athletic than you. There's always going to be somebody that is more capable than you. You see, our challenge, folks, is to not be first. Our challenge is to be who God raised us up to be, right? To be the very best version of ourselves. Are you the best version of yourself? Man, I pray that you are. A favorite philosopher of mine just happens to be a martial artist. He's passed away not too long ago. But if you've ever heard of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, the founder of Gracie's Jiu-Jitsu was a guy by the name of Helio Jiu-Jitsu. He was practicing jiu-jitsu well up into his 90s, and he passed away. And, you know, a lot of people listened to him. And there was a statement, it's maybe my favorite all-time quote. It comes from this guy. It comes from Helio Gracie. Helio Gracie said, if you are destined for greatness, it is a sin to be good. If you are destined for greatness, then it's a sin to just be good. And I think every one of us in this room, you're destined for greatness. You're destined for it. Too often, though, we are content just being good. And I think that's kind of what we have at play here when we think about the disciples' reaction. They couldn't bear the thought that someone occupying a higher position than them, someone being able to sit at the right or the left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the exception of them. And Jesus said, guys, it's not about the crown, but it is about the cross. The fourth thing that I want you to see in this text is God's example. And you see that in verses 25 through verse number 28. Notice what the text says. It says this: when Jesus understood that the disciples were upset, it says in verse number 25, and Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, when Jesus saw these disciples become angry and indignant over these two guys whose mother asked a very bold and a very daring thing, can my two sons sit in position of power and authority when you come into the kingdom? And Jesus says, you know, don't fault the mom for asking the questions, because you understand a little bit about the persecution that these men dealt with. Everyone that's in a position of power, everyone that's in a position of authority, they lord it over them. They take advantage of them. They try to put them down to the lowest spot because they want the highest spot. And so Jesus tells his disciples, don't you guys go being like that. That's the system of the world. That's not the system of the people of God. The people of God give themselves to servanthood. That's what I want you to do. And Jesus says, I am your example. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. How many of you remember several years ago Hurricane Sandy that hit the Northeast? You remember that? When Hurricane Sandy hit the Northeast, I was involved in disaster relief in our state of Indiana, and we were in New Jersey. We were going into the boroughs there trying to help people out, and we were in Keensburg, New Jersey. And we just got in town, and we pulled up downtown, and we got out and was waiting to get our instructions of wherever we needed to go. And we were standing just right on the corner of Church Street. We were standing there, hadn't had an assignment or anything yet, and I saw off in the distance a lady that looked very distraught. And she was making her way towards us, looked like, a group of workers standing there. And I walked up to her and I said, hi, my name's Rick. How are you? And she told me, well, my name's Lisa. And I need some help. I've went everywhere I could think to go downtown here and in this borough trying to get somebody to help me. And I'm here by myself and I don't have anybody to help me. Do you know a place where I could go to get some help? And I said, yes, I know of a place where you can go to get some help. Give me your address. And she came here, address, wrote it down on a piece of paper. And I said, you know, we'll be here this morning. She goes, okay, God bless you. Thank you so much. And so she went back home, and we kind of got some instructions, and I told our chief that was leading over us, I said, you know, I have spoken to a lady this morning that was very distraught, and she lives in town, and she's a single lady that lives by herself, and we need to go help her. Would that be okay? And so he said, yeah, and so we took her address, and we went to her place, and we helped her. Spent all day there with her in her apartment, cleaning out things and gathering up things and trying to do the very best that we possibly could to minister to her. If you know anything about disaster relief, the job isn't going and cleaning up after someone. The job really is to go and to minister to the heart and to minister to the soul of that person. So I had a group of 8 or 10 people that were with her today, on that particular day, and we began to talk with her and minister to her. And come to find out that she was a lady that had moved to, forget exactly where, but moved to New Jersey for work. And as she moved to New Jersey, she kind of moved away from God. You know, she wasn't being faithful to the Lord. She was a Christian. She did know Jesus as her Savior, but she seemed like she took this opportunity of moving to a new town to be an excuse, I guess, to not get involved in church. And this is what she said, and I'll never forget this. She said this, I should have known that I would have to go to the end of Church Street to find some help and to find my faith again. I should have known that I should have got to the end of Church Street to find some help and to find my faith again. I promise you, folks, there's people all over this town, people all over our community of Bartholomew County, Indiana, that have lost their faith, and they're looking for some help. How do we offer them that help? It's not about saying, look at me. It's my way or the highway. Come and be like I am. No. It's about kneeling to be a servant. And to understand that even the Son of Man did not come to be served. The Son of Man came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, I think sometimes we have good intentions gone wrong. We want to be noticed, we want to be first, and we want to be special. To be honest, none of that even matters. It's not about a crown, it's about a cross. And Jesus saying, will you drink the cup that I drink? Will you bend to serve your neighbor and your community? Anything else? That's just religion, right? God hadn't called us to be religious. But God has called us to be in relationship with Him. And if you're in relationship with Him, you'll bow the knee to serve the community that God has given you to serve. That's the kind of guy I want to be. I don't need to be noticed. I don't need to be first. People don't need to pay attention to me. All they need to know about me is I'm a follower of Jesus. And my life should point them to the cross. And your life should point them to the cross. I pray that this is an encouragement to you today. And if your life does not point them to the cross, I invite you to get that right with God this morning. Pray with me if you would.